Infowars.com/show.
All right, welcome back, folks. Again, I'll show some of these videos now, just so we can remind ourselves of how it's going here in America. These are all from today, right? I didn't go back through and find all the videos I could. Every day it's like this. Every day there's an outpouring of the evidence of America suffering, collapsing, failing in every possible way, while nothing is done to help any of us, as we're exploited endlessly. And we work half of our lives to pay for everybody else. Absolutely everybody else. Let's go first to clip number 12 here. This is in New Jersey, the Monroe Township. Keep the audio down. Pull it up. The audio is a little rough. So, no, we'll listen to the audio. I just fair warning. It's don't boost it up totally loud. Monroe Township, New Jersey, in March at a council meeting. This woman from Monroe didn't come to play. She stood up and delivered a straight up verbal masterclass to the council. This, of course, is about the data centers, and everywhere in America that these data centers are being built, the people are rebelling and demanding that they not be built, and being completely and utterly ignored by their local government. Which, again, like this is why I'm like actually kind of blackpilled at this point, is we don't even have town councils that are not corrupt. It's down to the granular level. This is the ultimate consequence of decade upon decade of the slow erosion of the American spirit, you know, civic participation. It's a direct consequence of diversity. Done all the studies. As diversity increases, commensurate with that, in perfect time with that, corruption increases. Lack of charity decreases, civic participation decreases. America is being torn apart by the seams, at the seams, and we don't even have local leaders that will stand up for their immediate neighbors. So it's like, you know, this is the thing. It's like, what do you do? Like, look at all the options available, and it's like, well, you'd vote for the other party, all right? They're both obviously under the yoke of Israel and refuse to do anything. It's like Republicans will pass amnesty, Democrats will pass amnesty. It doesn't matter. That's not an option. But what if you do like secession? What if Texas seceded from the Union? With what, Greg Abbott and his 10 billion strong from Hyperadad or whatever the hell that city's called? You're gonna rebel at the low. You're trying to try to get the local government to do something. They're on the payroll too, apparently. Who knew? Who knew that the corruption had filtered all the way down to Monroe Township in New Jersey? But here it is. Let's watch.
Avenue, just in case anyone wants to know. They seem to think it's important that we all tell everybody where we live. I haven't heard any of you say that before you spoke. It seems that that this is a pattern that I'm picking up here. This is the first town meeting I've ever been to, so this is all new for me and very disappointing. I voted in the elections that put all of you here. So did all these people. I heard someone back there, I don't know who it was, say that you are elected officials, not leaders. Very good point, whoever it was. Beautiful. That is the truth. Okay? No one went to your doors, knocked on them, and said, please run for office. Please. No, you all volunteered. And yet I see an entire panel up here. Especially you, sir. The mayor of all people should set a precedent for everyone else on this council. You very rarely even look at people in the eye. Okay? The entire time you're looking down, you said you're taking notes. Someone made a very good point. This is all being recorded. See?
And there's transcribers.
You could go back, and there's transcribers, exactly. You could go back, look at the notes, go over it later. Trust me, you're still getting paid. It's coming out of our taxes. Okay? You can go home. Put in some extra time. I am so sorry that this entire time I see boredom, irritation. You know, that we're all bothering you with this concern about our health, our homes, our children, our property values, if all you can think of is financial reasons. How about our property values? No one said a goddamn thing about that. No one said once how our property values are going to bottom out. Okay, no matter how many standards you have, sir.
Yes.
Okay, apparently they're not high enough for us. Because our standard is, and I think that you guys have figured this out, and if we haven't made it abundantly clear, we do not want a warehouse. We do not want an AI data center. We don't want any of it. And the reason nobody showed up before like this to complain is because we didn't know. You know, the double standard, okay, is ridiculous. Don't look away. We voted you in, sir. Look, I'll be as respectful as you are to me. Honestly, you're the mayor, and I know you feel as though right now that we should treat you as such, as your office, but you are not treating us the same way. Respect is earned. You don't just get it. You don't just get it because you tricked us into electing you.
Okay, so can't even get respect from your literal neighbors who have like the most lame job ever. They're just supposed to be functionaries, bureaucrats, keeping the lights on and the school cafeteria funded, and they use it as an excuse to sell out their own town from under them. It's just like, I guess we deserve it. I mean, honestly, maybe we just deserve it. That had to do with data centers. Of course, we ask why the data centers are coming. We can go to clip 27 here. This is billionaire Ray Dalio. He just confirmed what many have feared, but is not unexpected because people in power have been telling us this was their plan the entire time. This is the real purpose of the data centers being created. They are not going to help you. You can't even make an argument that they would help you. This is the infrastructure for the prison planet global government. Digital panopticon, constant surveillance, beast system. Let's go to clip 27 now.
Right.
What happens if the government issues digital currency? Like, what does that mean?
Well, digital currency is, right, you're talking about central bank digital currencies.
Yeah.
Okay, and that. There's a great deal of appeal because of the fact that it's easy and so on, but it's and I think it'll be done. A lot happens.
You think it will be done?
Yeah, I think it's and but what happens in the digital currency? Of course, it's easy to transact and so on. And it'll be like money market funds, I think. The question will be first, will they be able to offer interest? So there's a debate now as to whether they will be interest. If they're not able to offer interest, and there will be a debate, probably they won't be, but then they're not an effective vehicle to hold it in because you'll have the depreciation.
Of course.
You'd rather hold it in a money market fund or a bond, but that's debate. There will be no privacy, and it's a very effective controlling mechanism by the government. What I mean is all the transactions will be known. All transactions done with digital currencies will be known, which is good for illegal activities, getting control of illegal activities. But it also means that the government has a great deal of control. For example, they can tax that way. They can take your money. They can establish foreign exchange controls and the like. And that'll so that's something that will be an increasing issue, particularly for international holders of that currency, because they might feel, let's say, if you're a Frenchman and they wanted to have sanctions, they could take your money.
Of course.
You know, and so on. So there's the privacy issue of that.
And if you're politically disfavored, you could be shut off.
Politically disfavored, you could be shut off, yes. So those kinds of...
Those kinds of control mechanisms are being implemented right now. All right, so that's what we're getting. That's where our money and investment is going towards, not schools or hospitals or roads, but building gigantic data centers that nobody actually wants, whose entire purpose is our enslavement. Plenty of money for that. Unlimited money and energy for that. But you're still going to be, you know, going bankrupt because of the energy prices. That's what's happening with us. In New York City, of course, the chief equity officer, a position that shouldn't exist, is here giving a speech surrounded by a bunch of non-white people. As far as I can tell, I don't think there's a single white person in this. So what you have is a coalition of non-white people who've all gotten together and decided that the best thing to do is to directly tax and discriminate against and disadvantage white people. In New York City. Let's go to clip number 15 now.
This plan was born during a defining moment in our city's history, when New Yorkers were in the streets in the midst of a global pandemic, calling for justice, demanding accountability, and bearing witness to brutality unfolding on our streets and on our screens. In that moment, our city was asked to reckon with the deep systemic inequities that have long shaped life here and to do better. New Yorkers across all five boroughs answered that call. Their voices, their advocacy, and their persistence are what brought us to this moment. The release of the preliminary citywide racial equity plan is a reflection of that collective mandate. It is not just a document, it is a commitment to confront institutional and systemic racism within our city and to begin the work of dismantling it.
Ah, yes. Alpha Atta Mensa, the New York City chief equity officer, is finally, you know, coming to terms with the racism of New York City. New York City, long recognized as a beacon of white supremacy, white exclusion. What the hell are you talking about, lady? Again, it's not that complicated. It's just what's happening to America. Trump's best friend, by the way, Ma'am Donnie. Great guy. Loves everything he's doing. Of course, if you, you know, vaguely criticize the state of Israel, you're anti-Semitic and the federal government will come down on you like a ton of bricks. But openly say you have a plan to actively and deliberately discriminate against white people, and that's just progress. It's just making great progress towards something, I imagine. Okay, so I guess non-white people just aren't getting enough. Those damn white people in New York City, all 5% of them, the 5% of the population is causing all the problems. Of course, there's like, all these charts recently where it's like there were 300 shootings in Manhattan, not one of them involved a white person. It's fine. It's not like that's costing the city money or anything. But then you look at where the money's actually going. So if you take the amount that white people receive as, you know, being one, and you look at where the money goes, New York City public school spending per $1 of all taxes paid, federal, New York State, New York City, plus payroll, plus sales tax, plus property tax. And if you take the amount that white people receive as one, Asian people receive 3.8 times as much money, black people receive 4.9 times as much money, Hispanics receive 11.2 times as much taxpayer-funded benefits as white people. You take it to just the straight-up normal benefits, not, you know, the school, but just straight up welfare stuff. Take white people again as the standard 1X. Asians receive 7.5 times as much welfare. Blacks receive 61 times as much government benefits from whites than whites do. And from whites, obviously, since whites are the majority taxpayers. And Hispanics enjoy 67 times as much money in federal benefits. For every $1 that a white person receives, black people receive 61 and Hispanic people receive 67. And that apparently is not enough. This is what it already is. This is before the racial equity program. already the entire government of New York is basically set up to take money from white people and give it to non-white people. That is the function of the government. And it's not enough, and they need more. And white people are still alive, so they haven't been exploited enough quite yet. Okay, so small towns, they're selling out their neighbors to build data centers so they can enslave us in the big cities. They're taking the already ridiculous practice of the government of taking all of white people's money and giving it to non-white people because of the fact that they're white and they're non-white. It's not helping us at all. Meanwhile, another big city, we can go to clip 16 here. This is a street takeover in Chicago. And the Chicago government, we can go and roll this as B-roll, is what's happening just on the streets on a random weekday night in Chicago. Total takeover, lawlessness. And the Chicago government has said, look, we don't have the police resources to deal with this. They've literally come out and said, hey, if a bunch of, you know, random teens want to, you know, stop an intersection and start doing donuts and beating anybody up who tries to stop them, that they're just allowed to do it. We do not have the police. We do not have the resources. We have spent billions of dollars bringing these people into our country, giving them a place to stay, paying for their food and bedding and maid services. But we do not have money to establish basic law and order. That doesn't exist. Now, the mayor of Chicago has a personal bodyguard of 150 officers. Let me say that again. Chicago mayor has a personal bodyguard of 150 Chicago police people. But they do not have enough resources to stop the random takeover of streets. Okay. Do we understand? Are we starting to put it all together now? We can go to clip 17 here. This is the video I showed you earlier, but we can listen to it this time. This is the Domino's delivery driver. People found out it went viral because he had gone out of his way to get his customer a Diet Coke because he realized that Domino's was out and it's just that dedicated to his job. And people were basically outraged at the fact that this man who should be enjoying his retirement is instead having to work a physically demanding, an extremely low-paid job because he can't afford health care without it. Okay, so let's go to clip 17 now.
The voicemail just popped up. I didn't see a phone call. Well, I'm sorry. Okay,
we had a Diet Coke.
Oh, okay.
I stopped at the store, though. So.
Oh, you did not have to do that.
No, that's okay.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, man. Hold on now.
Well,
do you have a way I can add more to your tip? Because you deserve more than that. I don't have any cash on me, is my problem.
Oh, don't worry about it. That's fine. A 660, that's a good tip.
No.
The store's right next door, you know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, that's okay.
If I call into the store, can they take more on that tip? I wish I had cash for you.
Oh, you don't need to.
Oh.
That's a good tip.
All right.
What's your name? Mine's Dan.
Dan, I'm Brian. I appreciate you. You're at the store up on Maple Grove?
Yeah. Tell him that Dan. He's a great driver.
I'm going to, Dan. I appreciate you very much.
14 years I've worked there. I'm retiring in 26 days.
And I've always tried to work hard and go the extra mile on stuff. And I guess maybe I'm getting rewarded for that. I don't know. I don't think I work any harder than anyone else. But, you know, I've always tried to be a pretty nice guy and help people out when they're... Because I know what it's like to be down and out. So when I see people that are kind of hurting, I try to help them. It's all just, I just can't believe it. Knowing that I work at the seed lab, there's about six of us working at the seed lab, and they're all flabbergasted. They tell me all these stories. They tell me about this guy that was riding a skateboard with an ocean spray. And Ocean Spray got to TikTok, and they got a hold of it, and they bought him a new car and everything. So I got to thinking, maybe I should have someone call, like, the Corvette place and say, hey, wouldn't Dan look great delivering a pizza in one of your Corvettes? Huh? That's not a bad idea, is it? Right,
so ooh, that's the type of guy that's being, really you know, just literally exploited to the maximum degree. Just a nice, happy dude just like, I just try to help out people who are down and out. I know how it's been like that. And so, like, you got to realize, like, the people that run our country literally just, like, hate that guy and are just like, I don't know. I mean, in any sort of fair world, it'd be this guy who's living in a lake house, you know, having a great time while Mark Levin is having to work his fingers to the bone as an old man. Or the Somalis that came over here taking up the low-paying job. Really, it should be high schoolers doing this. But the purpose of our system is to take men like that, men like Dan, utilize them, use them to the maximum degree, exploit them to the maximum degree, keep them working constantly for the benefit of everybody else. This is why this is all so pathetic. Let's go to clip number 26 here. See how else things are going around America. Let's watch.
A major demographic shift is underway in our country. A new study from the Zucker School of Medicine finds that for the first time, minority births now make up the majority nationwide. Researchers analyzed more than 33 million births over the past 8 years. Eyewitness News anchor Sandra Bookman has a story.
White births in the U.S. have fallen below 50% for the first time ever. That's among the findings in a new study published today by professors from the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. One of those researchers, Dr. Amos Grunebaum, calls it a historic milestone.
Oh, I bet it is a historic milestone. We need that. We need the Kanye clip. Give me the Kanye clip where he's outside in the car. All right, so we're being genocided in our own country while, you know, old white men are having to work until they die. Did you know 10%, 9% I think actually, 9% of every birth in America last year was a foreigner giving birth to an anchor baby? Let's go to clip number 23 here. This is Tyler Oliveira talking about what has been done to Texas over the last 20 years. Let's watch.
I came here on H-1B 2004. Everybody was Americans. But fast forward, now you don't see any Americans.
This is Frisco, Texas. A once quiet farm town turned home to one of the largest and fastest growing Indian communities in America. As the Indian population exploded from less than 2% to almost 20% Indian in the last 20 years, many Texans are outraged, declaring there has been an Indian invasion. I pulled up to the Frisco Town Hall meeting to witness the clash of heritage Texans and their new Indian neighbors.
Where are you from?
Hyderabad.
Hyderabad.
I'm from India.
From India.
Where in India? Hyderabad?
Hyderabad.
Why do you think Frisco became such a big hub for Indians?
They have their own community here.
Right.
No, it's not like that.
Not like that here in Frisco?
No.
Motherland India or Texas, USA? Oh,
obviously, Motherland India.
Obviously Motherland India. India. I mean, of course.
Really? Did you come here on H-1B?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they did. All right, H-1B? We can go ahead and take it down. But again, just not even pretending to like be Americans. They're straight up just like, oh yeah, we're just like colonizing America. That's it. This is where our money's going. This is where our taxpayer dollars are going. So this is really the ultimate frustration, is that it's innumerable. It's uncountable. You can't even keep track of all of the numbers of ways that Americans are being relentlessly exploited, destroyed, torn down, our way of life completely abolished, while we are doing absolutely everything for everybody else. First and foremost for Israel, who, by the way, is behind a lot of the stuff that we just talked about today, including HIAS, H-I-A-S, the Hebrew Immigration whatever society, who is like directly being implicated in like major murder investigations because they're the ones who brought in all of the immigrants and then used taxpayer dollars to pay for their training.
Very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best
green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.